Okay, Ayin Tesem and Base. Yeah. Mishi Yotza Huve Ishtel Medina Siyam. A guy went with his wife overseas. And obviously this guy was married a woman that was kosher for a Kohen, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. Later his wife and his children came back. Now he went single, I mean went with a wife, and now he came back with kids. And he says, Isha Shiyotza Imi Lemedina Siyam, the wife that I went with overseas, Harehizu, this is her. Ve'elu Benan, these are her children. Okay? So in other words, the guy was married a kosher wife, you know, for Kun and everything. He's not a Kun, but he married his kosher wife. He comes back with kids. He comes back with Medina Siyam. And he says, these are my wife's kids. Ain't Tarach Lahavi Rai, he doesn't have to prove the kashrus. Loyal Isha, but loyal Albanim. Not for the wife and not for the kids, because we assume they're her kids.
What's the Havamina?
Because how do you know they're her kids? In other words, the question are these kids kosher kids? Don't forget, in the olden days, it was a mishmash. People, there was no communication. Guys had different wives in different cities and different, you know, we don't know what went on.
More mishmash than now?
Yeah. What happens, Mesa, the Elu Banahal? What happened? And this is the Chiddush also over here. What happened? He came back. He went overseas with his wife. He comes back, no wife but kids. And he says, Mesa, she died. The Elu Banahal. And these are her kids. Then the din is, maybe Rayal Abanim. He has to bring proof about the children, but he doesn't have to bring proof about the wife. In other words, obviously, the wife's dead. Okay, and she was cleared at the time, but the mission basically saying that you need to bring a proof on the kids. What happens if he went with a different, he comes back with a different wife? He says, Isha Nasasi Medina Sayam, I got married to a woman overseas. Areiz Hizu, this is her. Ve'elu Benan, these are her kids.
He married a wife who has kids.
No, they had kids together.
He went single then.
He went single. Or, it doesn't matter, he could have gone double, and he comes out with an additional wife. In those days, they had many wives. Maybe Raya Laisha, you have to bring a proof that this woman is kosher. You don't have to bring a proof for the kids. Because if the woman's kosher, we assume these are her kids, and if she's kosher, the kids are kosher.
But it said bring Raya on the Isha. So if you have to bring Raya for Isha, why do you have to bring Raya on the
You kids? Don't have to bring Raya for the kids.
Maybe Raya al Ha'isha.
The ain't Sarach Lavi Raya Labanim.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Why? Because once the woman is kosher, and these are her kids, so the kids are kosher.
But it says maybe Raya al Ha'isha.
Right.
We don't know yet. Bring her proof.
You have to prove that she's a kosher woman.
Okay. Then
Once you bring a proof that she's a kosher woman, yeah, you don't need to prove for the kids.
And if he cannot bring it.
Then nobody's kosher. Mesa va'elo banel. What happens? It comes like this. He says, "You know, I went overseas. I married a woman. She died, and these are her kids." So then the din is sarach lahavi raya alo isha v'ala banim. You need to prove that. Number one, that these are her kids you need to prove, and she was a kosher woman.
Oh, the previous case, the things are related. They are connected to each other.
Right.
I'm glad I'm not living in that time. Baruch Hashem now.
Okay, so basically, the Gemara's assumption is like this. The Mishnah's assumption is, we believe that these are her children if she's here. If she's not here, we need to prove she's a kosher woman. If there's kids with her and she's kosher, then the kids are kosher. Because we assume they're her kids. Because maybe the kids off the street. Maybe they're Sufi, Shtuki, like we learned before in the Gemara. So the Mishnah says like this. First case is, he goes with his wife, comes back with the wife and kids, and he says these are her kids, he's believed, and therefore everybody's kosher.
Why her kids, not my kids?
No, because the question is on the woman, the kashrus of the woman. Him we know. The question is, who's the woman over here? Okay, what happens if she died? Then you don't know that they're her kids. So then you need to bring a proof that the kids were her kids. Okay? Okay, so now the Gemara says, but the Gemara makes a lot of conditions in this din. Amar Rabba Bar Avuna v'kulim b'kruchim acharel. This is only one. The Mishnah said, you know, if she comes with the kids, they're her kids. That's only if they're, you know, grabbing onto her, tagging along with her. Then we know they're her kids.
I mean, they bring her to Beis Din and they look at how the kids are behaving towards her?
Yes.
The Beis Din was very busy those days.
Those days very busy. Tan Rabbanan Rabbanan learned. Ish and Asasi Mimadina Siyam. If a guy comes, similar to the case in the Mishnah, a guy comes and says, I married this woman overseas. Maybe Raya La Isha, Vain Tarchavi Raya La Banim. He brings the proof for the woman, he doesn't have to bring the proof for the kids. But which kids don't you have to prove? Little kids. Umevi Raya al Gdelim, Vain Tarchlahavi Raya al Ktanim. Okay? Meaning like this. Little kids tag along the mother. So therefore, if once the mother is known to be kosher, the kids, the fact that they're grabbing, you know, following the mother, like little kids do, so then that proves that they're the kids. But the older kids,
we don't know.
Maybe they're not her kids. In other words, you have to prove that these are her kids. Somehow. Birth certificates, whatever. V'med v'arim amorim, when is this din? That you have to prove the kids, be'isha achas, if there's one wife overseas. Aval b'shtei noshim, okay? But what happens if the guy had two wives overseas?
And he
came, one died. And he came back with one. And he says, these are the kids of this woman, not the dead one. Then he's not believed. Maybe Raya alo Isha, valabonim, alagdeinu valaktanim.
How do you know one is dead?
Because that's the case, no? Rashi says.
One died, he said. Two wives, always is one died. That's
no,
what says
the Gemara doesn't say
I know,
that.
But Rashi says, how do you see the case? That he died. She died. Rashi, Mesa Achas, Velu Benel. So, the Rashi says an interesting case. A guy goes, marries two women overseas,
Takes one with him.
Right. Comes back with one, and he says the other one died. Right? So you have no proof for anybody. Because we don't know that those kids are hers. Even if they tag along, the Gemara says they're not even going to be, even the younger ones. Okay? Because this one's a stepmother. Maybe that's why they're tagging along with her. Because if the mother died, it's possible the guy had two wives. One died, okay, and the other one raised the kids. And that's why they're tagging along with the mother, because she's a stepmother, she raised them. Oh. So then you need proof for everything. Ayin Tessa Midbeis. Mam, all the way to the last, well, we're starting with the Ayin, Payan and Aleph. Okay, now, so, okay, just to further what's going further, because Gemara is not changing the topic, but Gemara is going off a little bit. A man comes, and we know he comes back with a woman and says, these are her kids. We believe him that that's her kids. And if she's a kosher woman, the kids are kosher. But if there's no woman, or there's one woman and he had two wives and the kid died, the kids, then you need to prove everybody is kosher. Right? Now, the Gemara says, Amar Ish Lakish, Apei Amar Aleph. Lai Shanu, this whole din, that we rely on the kid's attachment to the mother, is only Bekotchi Gvul, with Hegdish, which is eaten outside of Yerushalayim. Aval B'yuchsin, but as far as marriage goes, we don't rely on the fact that the kids are attached to the woman to prove that the kids are kosher. I'll explain in a second. But Rabbi Yechanan Amar, afilu biyuchsin, even as far as marriage. Okay, now, what's the question over here? Let's say the guy was a kohen. Okay? Or Yeah, the guy was a kohen. Okay, this is where Rashi explains it. The guy was a kohen. He goes overseas, comes back with his wife and the Dishanalia's kids, and he says, "These are my wife's kids. These are our kids, and the kids are attached to the mother. Therefore, we assume the woman is kosher. The kids are kosher kohanim. Therefore, they can eat korbanis." Okay? But as far as marrying kohanim, that they can't, Rish Lakish says.
Yuchsen
for marriage. That means if they're girls...
So you mean they have lineage?
Lineage of purity. That they can marry kohanim.
The word yuchsen means lineage, pure lineage.
Yes.
Is that what it means?
Lineage? Yes. Genealogical purity. So according to Rish Lakish, if the guy comes back, he went overseas with his wife, who is a kosher lady. He's a kohen, right? He married this kosher lady, he's a kohen, fine. He goes overseas, comes back with kids. He says, "These are my kids." And they're attached to the mother. So the Mishnah says, because they're attached to the mother, we know that these are her kids, and therefore they're kosher kohenim, because he's a kohen, and she's a kosher woman. Rish Lakish says, that's only for eating korbanis. But as far as marrying kohanim, if the kids are girls, they cannot marry kohanim. Unless, if you can prove that these kids are kosher. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, they're kosher for everything. They can eat korbanis, they can marry kohanim, they're 100% kosher kids.
How could she be, if she's kosher, why the kids
are... The question is, are these her kids?
But they are tagging along.
That's the question. So maybe they're a stepmother.
What's the mother? It's only one.
Maybe. Well, do we know? Maybe she adopted the kids. We don't know. And the Gemara is going to speak. This is the question of Chazaka. And we're going to see very interesting Gemara about this now.
Oh, you said if they are girls, but if they are boys, they can marry.
Boys are not an issue with Kohen. Yeah, they have to marry kosher people, but a Kohen, a male Kohen has a more difficult choice of a wife than a male kohen has for a wife.
I don't get it. If they have a girls or boys, is different or the same thing?
Girls is harder. The question: can the girls marry kohenim?
It's the same thing.
It's almost the same. Just by girls, it's a little bit more difficult. That's all.
The boys are more difficult. I mean, you know, on Moshe we see the boys are more difficult.
Okay, va'az the Rabbi Yechon l'tamei, and Rabbi Yechon goes according to his reasoning in a different place. Amar Abchia Barabba. Amar Rabbi Yechon Abchia Barabba said in the name of Rabbi Yechon, Malkin ala Chazaka. You can give Malkus based on a Chazaka, an established presumption. Seiklin v'seifin ala Chazakis. You can even stone or burn somebody for punishment, capital punishment, based on a chazaka, but you don't burn truma. And the Gemara is going to explain each one of these. You don't burn truma based on a chazaka. The Gemara explains each one what this means. Malkin ala chazakas, what does it mean? You give a malkas based on a chazaka. It says like this. The Rav Yehuda said like this. If a woman was established as a nida for her friends, what does this mean? We mentioned this before. In the time of the Gemara, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, a woman who's a nida was tamei. Now, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, you needed to know if you're tamei or not. Because if you become tamei, you can't eat korbanos, you can't go into the Beis Hamikdash. Correct? If you're tamei, you can't. So, if a woman was a nida, she would wear special garments that basically announced that she was nida. Why? Because her friend gave her shalom aleichem, then her friend became tamei. If the friend became tamei, she can't go into the Beis Hamikdash. Right? She can't eat truma, she can't eat the korbanos. Today it's not relevant. Right? But in the olden times, right, if a woman who's a nida held her baby, the baby became tamei. He had to go to the mikveh.
The father could not hold the baby because she's tameh. The baby becomes tameh
if she holds the baby. No, but then it's a rishon. A rishon can't make a person tameh. A nida is avatuma. Avatuma can make a person tameh. But if the nida holds a baby, the baby is only a rishon can't make the father tameh. Whatever, okay? Now, so in the olden times, a woman, when she was nida, wore special garments that she's a nida. Okay? So if a woman wore those garments, there was an established presumption, it's called a chazaka, that she's nida. So if her husband had relations with her, Bezdin would give him malchus. I mean, the punishment is karis. But Bezdin would give him malchus. Because the din is, any person who was chayiv karis, Bezdin would give malchus anyway. That was aloch, yeah? So, if this woman, now, how do you know she's a nida? How do you know she's, you don't know she's nida. She had a chazaka of being a nida because she was wearing the nida clothes. Right? So that's a chazaka.
That's a chazaka?
It's called a chazaka. Because a woman that wore those garments, there's an established presumption that she's a nida, because otherwise she wouldn't be wearing those garments. Is it a definite proof? No, maybe it's Halloween. She's wearing a costume.
It has to be a constant, like 3 times, some sort of consistency for chazaka to happen.
No, not necessarily.
Sure.
Certain times you need a chazaka 3 times. But not, once there's a chazaka, in other words, if there's an established pattern that people wear this garment, that's a chazaka.
It's not embarrassing for the woman?
They had no choice.
Everybody.
Listen, it's normal. Yeah. If she's not pregnant, she's not nursing, she's an either. I mean,
it wasn't only one person, a lot of people.
Right.
Every other week, every 2 weeks.
Whatever it was.
But
that's what Rav Yehuda says. Huchsek nida b'shchinesel. If she was established nida in a neighborhood because of those garments, by leloika la mishum nida. If the husband lived with her, had relations, he would get malchus. Then it went even more. Seiklin v'seifin ala chazakas. You even do capital punishment on a chazaka. What's the chazaka? Because the Rabbi Baravuna said. Da'amer Rabbi Baravuna said, interesting halacha. Ish ve'isha tinek v'tineke shegdil v'teich baise. Yeah? A man and a woman raise a young boy and a young girl. Yeah? As brother and sister. Now, we were not at the birth. We don't know that they're brother and sister. But they're living in the house as brother and a sister. Correct? And then, niskolin zalzev and nisrafim zalzev. What happens if this brother and sister had relations, incest, right? They would get, good morning, they would get capital punishment, right? Yeah?
Because of the brother and sister?
I'm saying if the brother lived with the sister.
What does it have to do with the chazaka?
How do they know?
How do you know the brother and sister?
Oh, because they're in the one house.
You have children? Okay. Was I at the birth? No. Okay. But obviously, if you're raising kids in the house, there's a chazaka that they're your brother and sister. Correct? Now, is there a proof that they're brother and sister to the world? No. Right? You move to a city, you have kids in the house, right? And I was going to say another example of this.
But does this have to be nida?
No, that's for malchus. No, now the Gemara says you even get capital punishment based on a chazaka. Okay. If a father and a mother raise a son and a daughter, and the assumption is they're living as brother and sister, and they live together, they have relations, they get killed, even though you don't know for sure they're brother and sister.
To be adopted, it still is a chazaka.
But because there's if you know they're adopted, then there's no chazaka.
It could be. But right. Since they are there, the chazaka is very strong.
Yes. That's why it's a big shaila, you should know, in aloha. I mean, it's not a shaila, it says you're not allowed to. If parents adopt a boy and a girl, a boy and a girl are not allowed to get married.
Not get married?
They should not get married.
Why not? To anybody?
No, 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 no. To themselves.
Why not? To themselves.
Oh. Because people know them as brother and sister.
Married
Zion. Huh? Married Zion. It's like they're living in the same house. They don't have a din of brother because they're adopted. Everybody knows they're adopted.
Wow.
It doesn't look right. Yeah. Former Married Zion.
How about from two different marriages? They're living in the same house? They had a case like that.
Yeah, but it's also not so simple.
No, I mean, no.
1 minute. Then the Gemara says even another case. Listen to this. Amar Reb Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Reb Yishuv ben Levi Mishum bar Kapara. The Gemara tells another similar story. Ma'aseh says, true story, the Gemara says. Ma'aseh b'isha acha shabas Yerushalayim. Page Ayin. A story with a woman that came to Yerushalayim. V'tinek murkav al ksefa. And a young child was riding on her shoulders, you know, in the backpacks. V'gdilasi, she raised him. Uba aleha. And after he became an adult, he lived with the mother. Vaviim lebezdin uskalum. Yeah, and he says leimipnei shibna vaday. It's not because it's for sure. It's because we don't know for sure. What's the chazaka? Because mipnei shekodech achara. Because he tagged along with her as a child, which creates a chazaka, a presumption that it's his child, and therefore they killed him. Which is a very powerful thing, by the way. Because you can't kill on a doubt. You don't kill on a doubt. The Gemara, and we'll see a little bit more in the Gemara, and different, it's not really here, it's different places where the discussion is. This chazaka, because no, Beis Din can't kill on a doubt. You don't kill a guy on a doubt. Maybe he sinned. Right? So how do you know it's his mother? How do you know it was a brother and a sister? She happened to come into the city with the kid tagging along with her, right down her shoulders. And therefore, they said, okay, then it's your child. This chazok, it's your child. And therefore, if he lived with, he did. He lived with her. They gave skila. They killed him. Because chazok in Allah is so powerful, it's a definite.
It's more than one chazok. They live in the same household.
It's all the same chazok. There's a chazaka that this kid is the child of this woman. Mm-hmm. It's a presumption. It's a chazaka. So this is what the Gemara is saying. Rabbi Yechanan goes according to his logic that not only is it a chazaka for eating kachim, it's even a chazaka for yichus. So therefore, if this guy comes from overseas with this woman that he married before he went overseas, and now they have kids, and the kids are tagging along the mother, we say that they're kosher kayanim. So the Shlaka says they're only kosher kayanim to eat korbanis. And Rabbi Yechon says no, even to marry. For marriage, they're also kosher kayanim. Because this is the power of a chazaka. By the way, there's certain established presumptions. I mean, just to show you the power of a chazaka, in order to extract money, you have to be definite. You can't extract money on a doubt. Right? Mm-hmm. That's why we're going to see more of this as I'm talking about it now a little bit. It says, by monetary issues, you don't go by the majority. The majority of people. Okay. Classic examples. There's two types of oxen. Oxen. Okay. Some people buy an ox to shecht. Some people buy an ox to work in the field. Okay? Now, obviously, an ox that works in the field costs more than an ox that... Now, what type of ox do you buy to kill? A wild ox. You're not going to have him working in the field. So a wild ox is sold to shecht. That's cheaper. So now a guy buys an ox, and there's a whole fight what he bought it for. So even though most people buy this type of ox and that, whatever, you don't go by the majority.
Majority of what?
of what people call this oxen, that oxen, what people buy oxen for. Okay? Or the Gemara says, in the Meniach, there's a kad and there's a chavis. There's a pitcher and there's a barrel. Okay? And the guy buys a barrel and he gives him a kad. But some people call kat kat, and some people call kat chavis, and some people like this. So it says you don't go after the majority. Okay? Why don't you go by the majority to extract money? Because majority is a doubt.
Is it between
them? Huh? Because of the. Right, means 75%. 75% is not 100%. Right? What's majority? Majority means 75% is majority. It's not 100%. It's not definite. So majority cannot extract money.
But for capital punishment?
I'm not talking about the judges. The judges, you always go by the majority.
No, I'm saying the previous case.
Because it's chazaka. That's what I'm saying.
The rov doesn't.
But chazaka can extract money too.
Well, this is not a chazaka majority?
No. There's majority and there's chazaka. It's two different things. I'll give you an example. There's an established presumption halacha gives. You don't pay back your debt before the time. Okay? In other words, the Gemara says, Gemara Ksuvis, a famous Gemara. Chazaka ein perei teich zmanei. Meaning, if I lend you money for 30 days, $1,000 for 30 days. On the 30th day, I say, pay. Say, I paid you 5 days ago. And the 25th day, I paid you. And there's no proof either way. The Gemara says the assumption is he didn't pay it. And the guy has to pay it again. It's chazaka. It's an established presumption that the Gemara says people don't pay back. Isn't it a presumption? You don't pay back a debt early. So therefore, if you said you did, unless if you could prove it, you didn't pay it. That chazaka can extract money because it's more powerful than majority. It's much more powerful halachically than a majority. Here, Rabbi Yechon says, chazaka, that this kid belongs to this mother because he tags along with her, or they're living in the same house, or she, whatever the story is so powerful you can even give capital punishment based on it. So therefore, Rabbi Yechanan says it's so powerful that the kids can marry Kohenim, you know, or whatever, because there's a very strong, powerful assumption that the kids are her kids and they're kosher kids. But the last case was ein sarfin as a truma lach, but you don't burn truma on a chazaka. What's that case? Because there's an argument between the Shlokish and Rabbi Yechon. Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, Rav Shlokish says sarfin ala chazakas. You burn truma based on a chazaka. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what that means. Rabbi Yechon says ein sarfin. You don't burn truma based on a chazaka. What's the case? They go according to their reasoning. The Tanan, it says like this. There's a mission that says, Tinik shenimsa betzada iso batzi biyodi. A kid was found next to a dough, and there's a piece of dough in his hand. Okay, the Gemara is going to explain exactly what this means. Rameir mitahir. Rameir says the dough is tahir.
What's it dough? Oh, you mean bread dough?
Bread dough, not money dough.
Got it. I thought like dough, like a deer dough.
No. Chachamim mitamim. Chachamim say the dough is tummy. Why? They shadarke shel tinik l'tapeach. The kid likes to poke about. What does this mean? The question over here is, did the kid make the dough tummy? There's a big piece of dough. There's a kid sitting next to the big piece of dough with a little piece of dough. Obviously, where did the dough come from? From the big piece of dough. The question is, does a kid go into garbage cans poke into garbage cans, where people throw away tummy things, because you're not careful what goes on in the garbage. And therefore, we're afraid that when the kid who already touched garbage became tummy from the garbage, because there are like dead bugs in there, and the shrotzim, you know, the weasels and all that. And therefore, the kid became tummy. And therefore, when he took this little piece of dough in his hand from the big piece of dough, he made the dough tummy. So the mayor says, the dough is tahar. And the Gemara is going to explain why. The Chachamim say, the dough is tummy. Okay, now. Vavin and Bey, and we ask a question, my time with Rav Meir. Why doesn't Rav Meir say the dough? Doesn't Rav Meir hold kids krich in the garbage? You know, kids always go into the garbage.
They kricht.
So he says like this. Kosover, because Rav Meir holds, Reiv Tineik is metapch. Most kids go into the garbage. But miyut ain't metapchim. But some don't. 75% of the kids go in the garbage, 25% don't. Therefore, the isa becheskes tare metz. This dough, as far as we know, is tahor. Right? No, there's no reason to think it's tummy. Therefore, you add the 25% that the kids don't poke in the garbage to the chazaka of the dough being tahor, and therefore, Israel Leruba, the majority of kids that go into the garbage become weakened, and therefore Meir says the whole dough is kosher, tahor.
And you have a chazaka by the dough?
In other words, like this. There's no reason to think the dough's tummy. The only question is, did the kid who touched the dough make a tummy? So the Chachamim say, even if minority don't, it doesn't matter. The majority of kids get into the garbage, the majority of kids are tummy, so the dough is tummy. Period. Rav Meir says no. 75% of kids go into the garbage and they're tummy. 25% of the kids don't. So therefore, there's the chazaka that the dough is tahor, plus the 25% of the kids that also don't go into the... So if you add everything together, logic dictates the dough is tahor.
Can we say the majority rov, it doesn't take away the chazaka? Because the chazaka is stronger
but
than the
rov. But Rav Meir holds, the minority is used to add to the chazaka.
Do you need that?
Yeah.
Rabbi, sorry to go.
Why do you need that? This is chazaka, this is rov. The chazaka is stronger than rov. You don't need
that. Not in all cases. That's what I was waiting to say. The Gemara in Barbat says, Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adif. If there's a case of Rav and Chazaka, Rav is stronger.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The monetary.
Not monetary, but other things.
Wow.
So, the mayor says, because there's a Chazaka, you add the miyut, the 25% to the Chazaka, so then the Chazaka becomes stronger than the Rav. Chachamim hold that the minority doesn't exist. You only go by the majority. Majority of kids, meaning all kids, become tamei. So therefore the dough is tamei.
That's halacha?
No, that looks like chum.
That's halacha?
Yeah. Okay, so he says like this. Rabbanan, what does Rabbanan hold? Miyuta command alesedam. It's if it, the minority is if it doesn't exist. Therefore, ruba v'chazaka ruba adif. So what's stronger? Rav is stronger than Chazaka, not by money, but by other things, right? Therefore, what's the Rav? That the dough is tummy, because most kids do krich into the garbage can. Amir Ishlakish, Ishlakish says, this is what it means, you burn truma. What does it mean when the Chachamim said the dough is tummy? Therefore, you burn it. And Rabbi Yechon says, "Ein zu chazaka shesafin ala truma." This is not a chazaka that you burn truma. Okay, and he says, "When is a different case?" Okay? Now, the basically explains this at the bottom, but this is Rashi over here, Taisus over here, it's a whole. When majority rules, so to speak, does minority have any effect at all? In other words, is it like, he uses the expression, chayshinan lemiyuta, are we afraid of the minority or it just doesn't exist?
Is that bottle decision or not? Because the bottle decision, it doesn't, it's there but it's not.
Maybe they're not, maybe the majority is not shishim though.
No, I mean, is it like the concept?
The mayor says we keep the miyut in mind. I don't want to get into it. It's the whole thing with the Yibum over there. Whatever.
Keep it in mind for what? Just in case we need it to add it to something not, else?
In other words, we still reckon with the miut. It doesn't control the majority.
But it's there.
But it's there. And therefore, if there's a chazaka to add the miut to, then Rav is not stronger than Chazaka. Then that's the whole question over here.
What about Chazaka against another Chazaka? There is such a thing?
Yeah, there's different Chazaka. Some are stronger than others. Sure. You have a Gemara? You came with a Gemara today?
Yeah.
Halachically, whose Gemara is that? No. I'm telling you Halacha. What happens if I come along now and say, you know, that's my Gemara? There's no name in it. Okay? Now, Alpidin, what would Beis Din Paskin?
Has people, they have seen him with their Gemara.
How do you know it's his?
Because
there's a rule. Kol ma shetachas yadei shalodim shaloyhu. Whatever is under the hand of the person in his possession, there's an assumption it's his.
Except in the pawn shop.
Huh?
Except
in the pawn shop.
So I have to write a name in here?
It's not a bad idea anyway. No, you understand. Chazaka is a very powerful thing. If I want to take out money, that there's a chazaka. Nobody knows you bought the Gemara. Nobody ever saw that you were given the Gemara as a gift. You come with the Gemara every week to the class, right? So there's a chazaka that it's yours. Is it halachic? It's definitely yours, by the way. Because if I want to come and say it's mine, I have to prove it. You don't have to prove it. The burden of proof is on me. Because I am taking it away from you, who you have a chazaka that it's yours. There's a famous chazaka in Baba Basra Cheska Sabbatim, right? The famous 3 years. If I live in a house for 3 years, nobody said a word. Okay, and after 3 years, the owner comes to the tenant and says, "What are you doing in my house?" And the tenant says, "What are you talking about? I bought it from you. Where's your document? I don't have it anymore." So then is, if you can prove that you lived in the house for 3 years, it's yours. Because I should have protested within 3 years. Where's your document? The Gemara says people don't keep documents more than 3 years. What's the chazaka? What's the chazaka? That you lived there for 3 years. Does that make it yours?
No.
But by the way, if the owner comes to the tenant, who's there 3 years, yeah, says, "What are you doing in my house?" He says, "I don't know, I found an empty house, they took it." Then you throw him out. Because he doesn't have any taina.
What do you mean? The mere fact that he was there for 3 years is not enough to support his claim?
No, he has to have a claim.
But a claim doesn't arise just because of the fact. No.
Kol chazaka she'eini mataina ein chazaka. The Gemara says any chazaka that hasn't doesn't have a complaint with it. If I say, "What are you doing, Ma'aser?" I said, "I don't know. There was an empty house. Nobody was there. I moved in." Okay.
So where's that?
That doesn't make it yours.
Okay.
I mean, but if I say I bought it from you, then I'm saying I have ownership of the house. I can't come along and say prove it. Because you proved it just by the fact that you lived there for 3 years. Where's your document? The Gemara says people don't keep documents. They don't have to keep documents for 3 years.
You can go to court after 3 years and get like a document or something.
No, the Gemara says you have to come within the 3 years. Or send a shliach to protest.
You have to send a shliach to protest.
The owner. Yeah. What protest should the tenant do?
No, but I think his question was asking. I thought his question was asking something else.
If someone living here for 3 years, can you go to the betin and say, "You know what? I've been here 3 years. I want to make a document that I'm the owner of the."
No, he has to say I bought it. He has to say a reason why it's his.
Okay, but if he does that, can he after 3 years
get a document or something?
Just go to quiet, what we would call quiet title. Go to the Beit Din, the quiet title.
That's when I give you a title. How can I give you a title?
No, he'll make a
claim. Chazaka, 3 years you've been there.
No, but he'll make it, and also he's making a claim that he bought it.
Yeah, 3 years.
If he says he bought it after 3 years, Beit Din will give him a title, yeah.
And nobody's protesting, nothing.
If he can prove that he was there for 3 years and nobody protested,
he can get
a title that's his house. But again, he can't say, I found an empty house and moved in.
Yeah.
He has to say, I bought it.
He says it at the end of the 3 years.
Well, if the guy comes after 2 years and says, what are you doing in my house?
Yeah,
and he says, I bought it from you, he says, prove it. Then if the guy can't prove it, then of course he's out.
Is it true? I heard like in America, if like a boy and girl live together for 7 years, if they want to get separated, it's like already married. They have
What's it called?
There is such a thing?
Common law marriage.
But it's not recognized in California.
No?
Not in California.
In halacha, for sure not.
There is such a thing.
Yeah, sure there is. In some states.
It's called common law marriage.
So like,
it's not a din chazaka. It's a din...
Kiddush. It's a beer.
It shows if you are somewhere, like for some years, it has a chazaka that you have a title of something.
Okay, so therefore, this chazaka, that because of the kid, the Be'echon says you don't burn truman. What chazaka do you burn truman? So he says, what's the case? He says, kagain kedanan, isa b'techa bayis. If there's a dough inside the house, ushrotzim utzvardim etaplimba, and shrotzim and frogs are pulling off limbs from it. V'nimtu chatichas be'isa. And then you find pieces are in the dough. And we don't know if these pieces from the sheretz or not. So it says, imreiv shrotzim tmeya, if most of the reptile creatures in the house are shrotzim, meaning tamedike animals, so then the dough is tamay. Imreiv sevardim, svardei is a kosher. It's not metama. It's not one of the eight shrotzim that make tamay. Then, taheritz dough. So then he says, Rabbi Yehuda would say, in that case, when most are shrotzim, because then it's for sure they touched it, so then Rabbi Yehuda would say, you burned the dough. Okay, so far in the Gemara, it comes out like this. That according to the Mishnah is discussing, if there's a chazaka that the kids belong to the mother, what's the chazaka? They're tagging along with her. The mother's kosher, the kids are kosher. The Shtokas says it's only to eat kachim, not for marriage. Rabbi Yechanan says, chazaka is so strong, even you can get married. Kayanim. And not only that, Rabbi Yechanan says, based on a chazaka, you can kill. There's another interesting din. If a guy eats treifa meat, he gets malchus, right? Now, what happens if one witness comes and says, this is treifa meat? One witness says, this is treifa meat. And later on, two witnesses testify that the guy ate this piece of meat. They don't know anything about the meat. They just testify that this guy ate this piece of meat. Now, how do we know it's treif?
One ate.
We know that he ate it based on two. But the two don't testify he ate treif, because they don't know what it is. They just know that he ate it. The din is he gets malchus.
Because of what?
Because eid echad nemen bisurin. When it comes to Yitzhar and Heter, one witness is believed. So when he established a treif, then it becomes established treif, and that based on his testimony, and then the witness just testified, the guy ate this piece of meat, he's going to get malchus because he ate treif.
Like you said,
by Isha, Yeah. A Mashkiach is one witness. No, it's because Eid Echad Nemen Bisurin. One mashkiach in a restaurant, the butcher's, whatever it is. One mashkiach is in why? Because he's testifying that it's kosher. And then we'll be isur in Isser and Heter, not by money. Isser and Heter, one witness is believed. The woman is also believed.
But is it Nogea Bedavar or not? Like the owner can be mashkiach?
No, because
Nogea Bedavar.
He's Nogea Bedavar.
So
but
he's not?
There are a lot of restaurants
they have this.
Because Ashkocha,
they come and check.
They come and check, and they trust him because Yishem Meshav is what.
But by itself is not there.
Not. There are things in Halacha that certain things you believe for, but in proper kashrus he's not believed.
So still, they have to pay RCC for. I hear it that they're saying, why should I pay for?
What?
I'm Shomer Shabbos, I'm taking it.
Yeah, but what type of monies do you have? Of course you're going to say everything kosher, you don't want to lose money.
There's a place on Third Street, Magnolia Bakery. It's RCC1, it's open size.
So they have a deal with a guy. Okay.
You can do this.
Huh?
You can do this.
Okay, then the Gemara says, Tani Kavatsi Rabbi Yechon. We learned the proof to Rabbi Yechonin that Chazok is very, very powerful. What does it say? Because it says, Shnei Dvarim Ein Bohem Das Lishol. Two things don't have the intelligence to be questioned yet. Vasu Chachamim Kamal Sheyesh Bohem Das Lishol. But the Chachamim considered it as if they do have the understanding to ask. What does this mean? Tinek Ve'ed Acheres. A kid and one more law. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Tinukod Amar, in the cases what we mentioned next to the dough, it says, if there's dough of Trum in a house, v'tanegelu, memashkan tmeim, shomen, there's chickens and tummy liquids in the house, v'nimtso, and they're found, nekurim be'isa, that there's holes in the dough. Okay? Obviously, it came from the chickens, and there's tamei dekamashka that the chickens probably drank, making them tamei. So we say, Talin, it's suffik, but you can't eat it, but you don't burn it. But Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, leishanu ala b'mashkim levanim. That's only when the tamei dekamashka is white. Okay? Because avo b'mashkin adumim, but if it's red liquid and you don't see red on the dough, that means the chickens didn't peck the dough. Meaning like this. You have dough. Okay, the question is this dough tamei or not? Now you have chickens with tamei deka liquid. When the chickens drink the liquid, they become tamei. Because mashkin makes things tamei. Right?
Mashkin is not tamei, or is it?
The mashkin is tamei.
Is it Tomei
the Mashka
or just
a Mashka? Mashka Tomei, it says. Now, if the chickens had, let's say it was wine, yeah? And the chicken drank the wine and they pecked the dough, then the dough would have to be red. Right? So then you would know if they pecked the dough or not. So if the dough is not red, then you know obviously the chicken didn't touch the dough. Then it's not a suffix.
But chickens are not tamei, are they?
Yeah, if the chickens drink the tamei mashka, then they are. Oh. So what are we afraid? The chicken drank the tamei mashka and then pecked the dough. So he says if it's white, then there's no, white mean clear. Then there's no sign that there's, you know, because the dough is clear, you don't know if the chicken died. Then it's a doubt. But if it's there, otherwise you don't. And Omer Reb Yechanan said, no, so Gemara says, I'm sorry, Gemara, V'dilma belitzinu isa, maybe the red liquid became absorbed in the dough and therefore you don't see it. Maybe there was red dough, but you didn't see it. So why are you saying it's not tamei? Rabbi Yechon, Davizah Shama Beribi, this great Rabbi Shubha Levi heard it. Uperusha Leishama, and he didn't hear the explanation. Meaning, Leishana Ela B'mashkin Slulin. This case is only when the red liquids are also clear, Shebavua Shel Tinik Nikaba, that the reflection of the face in the child is recognizable in them. Meaning, obviously, it depends how dark it is, if it's going to be absorbed or not. Avamashkin achudim, but if they're cloudy, then the dough is not tummy, because then it does absorb in it, and you can't tell if the dough became tummy or not. And what do you see from this braisa? That the chazaka, is like Rabbi Yechanan says, is very, very powerful. The chazaka is so powerful that you can kill somebody on it, you burn truma based on it, you can get married based on it, you know, all this.
Even nowadays?
Well, nowadays there's no dinner tumentare.
I mean, but if you go to other dinner...
A chazaka, if a brother and sister are raised together, brother or sister is a chazaka, and therefore they can't marry each other. Unless if it's known that they're stepchildren, not related at all.
Oh, then it's okay.
If it's known, then it's known. In the olden times, when people raised orphans in the house, not adopted, but they raised. So many times people raised, you hear stories, read all the stories, that they raised a boy orphan and a girl orphan from different families, and they married each other, because everybody knew they were orphans. Everybody knew they were not brother and sister. Because there was no chazaka tagging along that we should think they're the brother and sister. If you know for sure they're not brother and sister, then it's not a problem. If there's any way to think they're brother and sister, then you can't do it.
Why did?
What?
If people don't know about it, I mean, general people, they don't know about it. Immediate family knows, still it's okay.
If there's enough people that know, it's okay.
So many cases.
It's
a lot of cases.
You know the expression today, would you please tell your kids to tell my kids to stop fighting with our kids? Please tell your kids to tell my kids to tell our kids. Okay, let's start just the next mission. The next mission talks about the dinam of Yichud.
How far do we go for like something issue? Like brother and sister cannot get married, right?
Right.
If it's in one town, there are a lot of orphans, and we want to get them like this one, get married that. But maybe they are brother and sister. They got them from different places. Do we have a chayshinot or how far do we go?
It's a very interesting issue.
Do we go that far? Do we consider that?
There are opinions in Halacha. In fact, the Rebbe was of that opinion, in fact. If you want to adopt a child, sometimes it's better to adopt a non-Jewish child and be Megaya Kaloch and raise them from, rather than adopting a Jewish child. Why? Because if you're adopting a Jewish child, maybe another kid was given up for adoption. This is how far it goes. Maybe a sibling was also given up for adoption. Mm-hmm. And these two kids might want to get married. Because so they have something in common.
What does it have to do with you raising them?
No, I'm saying, not you raising the brother, you're raising one kid.
Right.
But somebody else might also have, and you don't know. And it might end up a brother marrying a sister. There's a whole story in the Gelum book.
But I don't understand.
The book about
why,
the Gelum.
Why does
the
that...
Malmi, but there's a whole story with a family. They were running away and they were thrown into a pit and they escaped from the pit and one kid Nebuch was left and the guy found them and was raised and became a Jew.
Yeah, but that could happen.
One second. The Malmi Prague was supposed to do a chuppah of a boy and a girl. Yeah? And he held the cup to make the bracha and the cup fell from his hand. He filled it up again, and again the cup spilled from his hand. So the Menalmi Prague said, there's something
wrong here.
Nothing good. So he called the Goylem, the whole story in the Goylem book, you know, the book, the Goylem. The whole story over there, that the Goylem found out with us.
Brother and sister?
Yeah, Mamish, brother and sister.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so my question is, why does it matter whether you raise them or not? I mean, if they're going to get married to their brother or sister, that could happen without you.
Yeah, but I'm saying like this, you're raising a kid,
yeah,
and you're marrying her, you're actively involved in marrying off, you might be marrying him off to his own sister. So if you have a guy, it's not a problem, because the guy has no relatives. Okay, we understand.
So the dinim of Yehud is the
Rabbi,
problem
have a great time
in these cases.
So you're going to talk
adoption and all that.